Is going to lead the third session of our study that concerns public works, privileges, and responsibilities in the last days. Brother Allen, over to you.
Thank you, Brother Bill. Thanks for the extra time. By way of introduction, let's all try to be merciful to the translators. Please pause after each sentence and talk slowly. The study notes are a general guideline. They are not comprehensive. The questions are worded a little differently than on the convention program. Question A. What is the mission and purpose of the harvest message in the world? Or we might say, what is the mission and purpose of the harvest message for the world? This question is in contrast with study four, which is works with and for the new creation. This question contains four areas, which are in bold on the outline. Number one, definition of terms. Number two, the kingdom hope. Number three, judgments for the world. And number four, Israel's role in God's plan. So we'll start with number one, definition of terms. The first term that I see is mission. Mission. It's our assignment, vocation, and calling. It's what we are told to do for the world. This mission becomes our responsibility. So the question for discussion is, what are we told to do for the world? What is our mission for the world? And how does the harvest message fit into that mission? We'd like to, oh, we already have a hand. Brother Miro.
Thank you so much, Brother Allen. I will use a familiar scripture from Isaiah chapter 61, particularly verse 3. Verse 2, but the second part of the verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord Yahweh is on me because Yahweh has anointed me. And then says, for what? To proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. To explain to the people, that means to explain to the people the meaning of the current events in the world. What is behind of these clouds of trouble. And also, further verse says, to comfort all who mourn. It is also our responsibility. There are so many people today who are mourn, who are in the fear, who are without hope. And we have that balsam from Gilead that can bind their broken and wounded hearts. Back to you, Brother Allen. Over.
All right. Thank you. And of course, there is some overlap here. The purpose for this question is just to get a general idea of our mission. We will look specifically at the kingdom hope, and that Isaiah 61 was one of the suggested scriptures. So we'll touch on that again. And also the judgments for the world. I realize it's maybe not easy to understand my meaning here. Our mission for the world in general terms. I'll throw one thing out. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I would put that on the list. Sister Margaret, over to you.
Well, with that question, I thought of Matthew 28:19-20. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now that doesn't mean that's so often mistaken to be require world conversion, but for us it gives us the message of preaching the world, the truth, having the truth available to all nations to the extent we can. But I think as brethren generally, we like to particularly bring the kingdom message, which you've mentioned, not that someone has to accept what we say now. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. That's a good reference. That fits with the idea of preaching the gospel of the kingdom. We know that's how Jesus began his ministry. Okay. More hands. Sister Sharon, over to you.
Yes, Brother Alan. I was also, along with the preaching the gospel, Luke 4:16-19. But I would like to just read, I'd like to read 18. Well, I'll start with 17. I'm sorry. Luke 4, starting with verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah, or the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So I think that that's one of our missions, whether they hear or they forbear, is we have that opportunity. And I think, the blessings tracks that we have here in the U.S. has been a real comfort and a help in that mission to preach the gospel. Over.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate the additional scripture. Next, Brother Jerry, over to you.
Brother Alan, I would also just suggest Matthew 5:14-16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And you know the rest of it. I've also posted in the chat. So our mission is to be a light. And that light may have different effects and purposes. But if the Lord's people have been given the light of truth, they should let it shine. Over.
Excellent. Thank you. And Brother Michael, over to you.
Sorry about my delay, Brother Alan, but my comment would be similar to Sister Margaret's. It is Matthew 24:14. That says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." And as it's been pointed out, we may not have results with our witnessing, but at least we have the opportunity to make that witness. Over.
Very good. Thank you. And next, Sister Dion.
Excuse me. Greetings, brethren. Yes, I was thinking too, is that we need to give the world hope at this time because of so much that is going on right now. And if we can talk to them about restitution blessings and what God has given us hope for the future, and that we continue. Many people are aware of the Our Father prayer, they call it. And when we can bring up about the kingdom and the purpose of that kingdom and so forth, and that there would be subjects under that kingdom. And then in Ecclesiastes shows that the earth is not going to be burned up, that it's going to, it'll be here forever in Ecclesiastes 4:4. And so, I think Pastor Russell was saying too, that those are the things that are important to talk about. And as they can accept those things, then you can go on to talk to them about other things. And if they have an ear to ear to hear, then we can proceed further. Over.
Okay. Thank you. And don't forget to have mercy on the translators, brethren. Try to remember to speak slow. Take pauses between your sentences.
Sorry. Okay.
That's all right. It's hard to remember if you're not used to this. Isaiah 62:10 was put in the chat. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones, lift up an ensign for the peoples. Again, we're kind of overlapping on the next part of this study, but that's all right. Next hand from Brother Bill Facker.
Brother Alan, I think another scripture that talks about the light is very helpful, and we find comments from Brother Russell in the fifth volume on page 293 and 294. And the text that I was thinking of is that cited is Philippians 2 and verses, I would say 13 through 16. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, and so forth. And so we can reprove the world just by letting our light shine and showing what the positive course is in contrast to the wrong course. So page, and I'm sorry, I'm going to talk more slowly. I'll try to remember. But volume 5, page 293 and page 294. Thank you. Over.
And thank you. Appreciate, brethren, all these references. Brother Bill, Sister Donna.
Go ahead.
Brother Alan and brethren, I took a slightly different tack, sort of like Brother Bill's, John 16:8. And when he is come, we know he's come, he shall reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And then Isaiah 24:21. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high and the kings of the earth upon the earth. So as a light, we draw attention to what's going on in the world and why. Thank you.
And if I could interject a quick thought here, Jeremiah 50 verse 2, relating to our purpose and mission. Just the first phrase of that text, declare among the nations and publish and set up a standard publish and conceal not. I like this idea of setting up a standard. Back to you, Brother Allen.
All right. Thank you. We're going to want to try to move on because we're still in point one, definition of terms. Though, as I say, we have overlapped some. We're only going to take the two more hands, and then we'll move on. Sister Joy, over to you.
Yes, Acts 17, verse 30 and 31. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness, etc. So part of being a light is encouraging people to choose according to the influence and example that we have to choose what is right.
All right. Thank you, Sister Joy. The word I would put there is repentance. We do have that as part of our mission. Last comment on this from Sister Debbie Atkinson.
Okay, can you hear me? I just wanted to bring out Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And by doing good to all men, we show God's love and graciousness. Over.
Thank you. You saved me the trouble of reading that, because that was one on my list. We need balance. Do good unto the household of faith is a priority, but we mustn't neglect doing good unto all men. Balance. Okay, next term is purpose. Mission is the what. Purpose is the why. The reason why we have this mission. So the question is, why do we have this mission on behalf of the world? What is our purpose? How does the harvest message fit into that purpose? We have primarily talked about what is our mission, but now it's perhaps more practical to ask this question as to why. This is really more important than the what. Sister Sharon?
Yes, Brother Allen, just to get it started. I know it's our class study. The thought is that the purpose is for our development, for our character development, and to show that our love of God. And as the scripture, as the scriptures have been said, we are a light in the world. So it is our purpose. It is our responsibility to tell the world, but it's for our development and our character development, showing forth our love of God and the love of his message. Over.
Thank you. And I believe that's part of it. Part of it, part of the purpose is for our development, for our benefit. But there's something more. Brother Brad.
Well, Brother Allen, just thinking of the term of our stage of the church is Laodicea. It's a compound of two words, laos meaning a people, and dike meaning to judge. And so when the church of this stage gets the harvest message, it is a judgment message. And it, I think the idea, the purpose is also to vindicate the character of Jehovah that has been really maligned by all the errant teachings that came before the harvest truth came about. So that could be a purpose as well. Over.
Okay. I agree with all these. But there's still one on my list that's pretty high up. Brother Richard Stewart, over to you.
Yes, thank you, Brother Allen. I think also, I think of Philip and the eunuch and the so forth, and how can I do it unless someone instructs me? And so we have this responsibility of spreading the truth that's an aid of gathering the elect. So the Lord allows us to uses us to draw others to the high calling. Over.
Thank you. And that perhaps has more to do with the next study, number 4. It's a good point. We're focusing on why we have this mission on behalf of the world of mankind, for their benefit. Okay, I'm sorry. There's a lot of hands up there. Brother Miro, over to you.
Thank you, Brother Allen. In the 1 Peter 2:9, we read that you are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may show forth the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, that is our the reason why, to show forth the excellence of him who called us. And also in Hebrews 13, verse 15, through him, through Jesus, therefore let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips which make confession to his name. That is a reason on that way. That is one of the ways of our sacrifice, our vow, or our consecration. Here, this expression, the fruit of lips, it's from the Hosea, where it says the how can I say that in the on the English? But it means that it must be something very very good, like in Leviticus, it's mentioned in the Day of Atonement, two sacrifices of the goat and of the I forgot. Yes, yes, that one, and that is referring here where it says the fruit of the lips, or the best of what you have. Over, back to you, Brother Allen.
Okay, thank you. Sister Joy put in the scripture a very familiar text, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son in sacrifice. We have the privilege of loving our human family so deeply that we share the message of the love of God with them. Also, we care about their successful journey on the highway of holiness in the future. That's important. Sister Cheryl, over to you.
I'm going to throw out the scripture Isaiah 41:20, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Over.
Thank you. Good scripture. And Brother Laddie, next to you.
I was thinking of the text of scripture that says that our works follow after us. And I can't remember where it's at right now, but you know, the works that we do now are going to reflect what we do later. Or no, the works we do later should be reflected in what we do now. Over.
So you're probably thinking of Revelation 14. Yeah, there it is. Revelation 14, 13. Indeed. Thank you. Next, Brother John. Hope your mic's working today.
Can you hear me?
Yes. All right.
Great. Well, I was thinking of John 18:37. For this cause came I into the world to bear witness to the truth. And this was Jesus' purpose, and it is our purpose. Someone mentioned vindicating the Father's name, but I was really struck. There are different passages where Jesus uses the phrase that the world may know. And one of those is in John 17:23. And he says that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, speaking of the church, as thou hast loved me. And Brother Allen, for me, there is a real lesson just in the power of the truth, just in the spoken word. And Romans 3:19 has a phrase that every mouth may be stopped. No one will be able to say in the kingdom, well, if I had just heard the truth, I could have been part of the church. And there'll be a real demonstration of how the Lord's people's lives were changed by the truth. And that will be such a practical lesson for mankind. They can't say the kingdom will be too hard because the church will have done all of this under the reign of sin. And lastly, I just want to give the third volume, 237 and 238. And there, Brother Russell mentions that the feet members will have left such records of the kingdom as will be most valuable information to the world. You know, none of the words that the Lord's people speak are ever going to be lost. They'll have their impact either now or in the future. Over.
Thank you very much. That's one of my favorite references in regard to this. The Mortons are next.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate the discussion and all of the comments. One of the scriptures that was referenced earlier, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9, but I was thinking about verse 12, which kind of goes along with what Brother John just said. It says, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So we're, as Brother John just said, everything that the church does now, you know, the example, the message, even if individuals reject it at this time, in the day of visitation, when they are privileged to have their opportunity, it will be a good witness. It will be an example. They will remember it and perhaps glorify God if they're, you know, in that time. And then another thought was mentioned earlier too, and that's the Day of Atonement sacrifices. We know that the church is being offered as the Lord's goat. So it also has a part to do with Jesus finishing up his sacrifice through us and our consecration. We can really say it's Jesus finishing his sacrifice on behalf of the world through the Lord's goat. So, and I'm not sure if that was part of what you were thinking as far as the why that the church is being offered as well through Jesus. It's only through Jesus and his merit. Over.
Thank you. These are all important points. We're only going to take these three more hands and then we need to move on. So Sister Gaylene, you're next.
And I would say that the purpose for why we do this, looking at 2 Timothy 3:16, says all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. You know, the human, there's been often the thought that there's no better way to learn anything than to teach it. And for us, it's also our education. If we can teach this, it's a better way for us to learn it as well. I think there's some link as well to being a sympathetic high priest. When we teach this, we get in touch with the world and their plights, and that softens our heart when we see their difficulties. Just some quick thoughts. Over.
Thank you very much. Just repeat that last point because it's important in part of the sympathetic high priest. Frate Costica, Brother Costica.
Frate Costica, nu te auzim. Acolo lângă microfon, de unde ai apăsat microfonul.
Mă grăiesc, de atâta nu m-a auzit.
Da, acum te auzim. Bun, bună întrebare, mulțumim.
În prezent.
In the present, doing good for the world is secondary, the second place. In the first place is to help our brethren, to the new creation and to the household of faith. During the 1,000 years of the kingdom, we will have the opportunity to do good for the world. But today, that is secondary. And why do we do this? Because that's what we engage to. We engage to this work to do well. We consecrated ourselves. We entered this service. Whoever knows to do well and that not do it, it is a sin.
Okay. Last hand on this question is from the Garrisons.
Good morning, Brother Alan. I can only echo the first part of Brother Costica. The pastor does mention in the volumes that our primary work is the call of the new creation and finding those last members of the body of Christ. Our secondary work is the witnessing work. But I will add that as the sin offering, the church's part is the pipeline that takes the truth to the world. As a witness now and the blessings of the Lord in actual raising up to perfection later. So I would just add that. I'm sorry I don't have a scripture and I don't have the reference in the volume. But he does say it is a secondary work. Over.
Thank you. In fact, Galatians 6:10 says it's a secondary work. But it is a work. And second place is still important. So, to summarize, our mission is to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Our mission for the world. That's this study is regarding for the world. To preach the gospel of the kingdom. And the purpose, it's for our benefit and it's also for theirs, both now and in the future. That brings us to number two, the kingdom hope. We have already touched on this in the previous comments, but let's consider it further. What is the mission and purpose of the harvest message regarding the kingdom hope? Isaiah 61 was already referred to, and especially verses 1 through 3. But I would like to read it with one phrase left out. The kingdom hope from Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And then question or point number three has to do with judgments for the world. And here we could put that missing phrase from Isaiah 61 verse 2 to proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. So we're making a distinction between the kingdom hope and the judgment message. But let's consider first that kingdom hope. If there are other thoughts regarding some of those expressions in Isaiah 61, they're all very hopeful. They're things that the world of mankind can appreciate. And it's our great privilege to give them this good news. Other comments? Brother Paul, over to you.
Brother Alan, it's a privilege to see your face and all these brethren online.
Likewise.
It's such a wonderful international meeting. I'm surprised on this outline we don't have anything about the last experiences of Elijah. And you know, Elijah's life has, as we know, been pretty chronological from the time of the 1260 days through the time in the wilderness when he wanted to die and he was miraculously fed and going down to Horeb and hiding in the cave and God telling him to come out and go do some more work. And he sees Jehovah pass by in the wind, the earthquake, the fire, and he experiences whatever this still small voice might be. And God says, you have more work to do. And the work is to anoint three individuals for the purpose of slaughtering the worshipers of Baal that still exist, to basically go back and do the work that you did before you ran away from Jezebel. And so there seems to be chronological even through that, because now we're expecting whatever this fiery chariot experience is for the church in the flesh at the end. And so where are we, brethren? Where are we in this stream of time in Elijah's life, the church in the flesh? And it seems to me we're in this time of whatever the fire and the still small voices. Of course, we believe the wind, earthquake, and fire has been somewhat chronological, even though we have wars in the world today. We have revolution. We have anarchy all over. What is this still small voice? And I think we are experiencing it even right now in being able to have this powerful international meeting.
Slow down, please.
Yes, yes. And we have the ability to cover the earth with this powerful digital revolution that we're in right now. What and how is that going to affect our work in the future, and has affected our work in what we are able to do to connect with our brethren in India and Africa and Poland and Romania, and it's an incredible thing that we're involved in. Just absolutely incredible. No, not any other time through the gospel age have we had the privileges that we have today in being able to let our light shine. And so what are we doing with it? Are we staying in the cave? Or are we coming out and doing what God has instructed to us? And by the way, he said there's still 7,000 out there that have not bowed the knee. We need to recognize what that means. I'll end there. Over.
Okay, thank you. Well, this study is a little bit more limited than your comments, though I appreciated your comments, and they're valuable. We need to remember that this study is about ministering to the world with the truth at the present time. Now, it's true that we shouldn't be in the cave. We should be out there doing something. So thank you for that final aspect, which is very pertinent to our subject. Sorry, I got stepped over there. Sister Suzanne, over to you.
People have written into FAQ and have asked, why is all this stuff happening? And I like to comfort these people and say, Jesus is in charge of the demolition project. And say, don't worry, Jesus is there. And I like to quote Daniel 2:44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. I think that's a great comfort. Thank you.
And thank you. Appreciate that very much. And Jeremiah 1:10 is a very good scripture, was put in the chat. I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Next hand from Sister Diana.
Yes, and I will talk slower. I appreciate your saying that this is our mission to the public now for their benefit and ours, of preaching about the kingdom and pointing them to a government that will provide beyond their understanding of how a perfect government will bring about conditions that mankind is longing for. They just don't know how it's going to come about. And so I appreciate that. Being Jehovah's Witness for almost 30 years, I know that they will accuse you of being Jehovah's Witness, and that's okay, because whatever seeds we can drop, and then they realize later that we are Christ's followers, and that's what he wants the church to do. And there was something else I was going to say, because I've had that experience just most recently witnessing to my cousin, and that's what she said. You must be either a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness. So there's where we have to identify who we really are, and give them hope in that direction. The Satan has weaved such a tight web I tell people that there's no way any one imperfect human can get it straightened out. It's so confusing. And so that's somewhat the direction I go in giving people hope for God's kingdom. Over.
Thank you. We're going to have to combine the kingdom hope and the judgment message because we're running out of time. I tried to do that a little bit because Isaiah 61 has both. It has both the hope of the kingdom and it also has concerning the day of vengeance. Let's go next to Brother Aurel.
Tocmai la aceasta mă gândeam, la Isaia 61.
I was also thinking of this, Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. We remember that the Lord, when he started his mission, he opened the book of Isaiah and read, but he only mentioned the year of mercy. And then he closed the book before the day of vengeance. But this scripture shows that it is our mission of the Anointed One, of those who belong to the Anointed class, to speak about the vengeance at the right time. It is possible that that time will come when it will be necessary, probably just before the invasion of Gog and Magog, to show what God says about the kingdoms of this world, about the people of God, how God will set up his kingdom, how he will bless everyone, and every plant that was not planted by the Lord will be pulled out. And I was thinking that, like, as the Lord started his mission and he had a plan to cover the entire Israel, all the villages, all the towns, it is possible that that time it will be necessary. Brother Paul Lagnell mentioned something. It is a wonderful way, but it's probable that there will be some media sources, more general sources, for transmitting the message. We will need to give the right message at the right time to be a witness. So like Brother John Baker said.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Aurel. We're just these last two hands, and then we have to get to our last subject here. Brother Jerry, over to you.
Yes, I know our time is short. I'll make this short. I think that declaring the kingdom message of hope is not a different mission than declaring the judgments. I think that the declaring the kingdom hope sets the world on edge, that they are being arraigned, that they have not provided the utopia that the kingdom message has. So declaring the kingdom message is also a judgment upon the world. I will also cite these texts in Psalms 149, 7 through 9. I think the executing here is not that we are managing, but that we are declaring the Lord's judgments, and therefore they will be executed. These missions of the church are detailed by Brother Russell on Volume 4. I'll just type this, Volume 4, 624, and also Volume 3, page 235. Over.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. Brother Bill or Sister Donna?
Sister Donna.
Brother Alan, I was thinking of Psalms 46. The first verse, God is our refuge and strength, So we have this message of hope. We're seeing the desolation through these scriptures of what's going on in the world. And verse 8 has to do with judgment. Behold, the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. And then we come to verse 10, like Brother Paul said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. So we have the desolation process of the judgment. We have the hope. And in verse 10, the still small voice. Thank you.
And thank you. And thank you, brethren, for your input on these areas. No, I'm sorry. No, Sorry we had to cut it a little bit short. So trying to give a message of hope. And even when we talk about the day of judgment, we can tell them the reason for it and the silver lining to those clouds of trouble. Item 4. Oh dear, we still have question B. Item 4 is Israel's role in God's plan. What is the mission and purpose of the harvest message regarding Israel's role in God's plan? And I also put Isaiah chapter 4, something from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. This is another commission that is given to us by God to comfort Israel, since we know that her double has been accomplished. Brother John Baker.
Brother Allen, the brethren who went to Israel in 1996, an Israeli member of their Knesset quoted Psalm 126, 1 and 2 to the brethren. And that reads, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. It's like Israel couldn't believe all the goodness the Lord had for them. And then this speaker applied verse 2 to the brethren. He says, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. And it's rather amazing. It seems that Israel needed comfort at the ending time of the double, as you pointed out. But perhaps the encouragements that the church gives for Israel now, perhaps that is strengthening them for what experiences lie ahead for them. But it is interesting, they needed others to point this out to them, the blessings that come from the Father. Over.
Thank you, Brother John. Well, brethren, I apologize. I forgot there was a question B. And we only have, well, actually, we don't have any time left. So I'll try to summarize. What has been or is expected to be the effect of the truth message in the world? And we gave a couple of scriptures, Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 5 and 7. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. And Isaiah 61:3, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So what's the effect? Well, for the most part, they won't listen. But we should try. It's not our job to convert the world, but we should try to convert the world, give them this message of hope, give them beauty for ashes, and eventually, someday in the future, they'll remember that. What has been the effect, the actual results of the truth message in the world? Well, We'll leave that for you to ponder. Concerning the present and the future, what are our expectations, our hopes in regard to preaching the truth to the world? We don't expect big results, but we mustn't be discouraged. We should continue to try to preach the truth as long as we are able to preach it. Over to you, Brother Bill.